on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of footy. Afternoons with Andy Marr for Volvo. Get run-out prices on the entire Volvo model year 16 range. And Logical Staffing Solutions, hiring truck drivers for an immediate start. Logicalstaffing.com.au.
Is that, but see, now Johnny's on board. Doz is gone and Johnny's on board and things just are changing.
Yeah.
That's not your music.
That was the original one before I got slammed for, you know, being a bit too...
That's not really your go. That's a bit too...
Funky?
Homey or something for you. This is you.
This is me.
This is you.
This
Johnny,
is me all over.
This is him, right? Thanks. I know we've only got two more weeks of this to worry about, so don't get too knickery-nottery about it, but this is just where we're at. Now it makes sense. How are you, Hazy? We're all a bit exhausted. It's been a huge couple of days up at huge week for you up at Royal Sydney.
Yeah, a huge week for all of us involved in the radio coverage. And I'd like to, you know, publicly thank SEN and yourself, Half and Marco, and everyone behind the scenes here for getting on board and helping us out, because I think we got to take the Emirates Australian Open to a whole new audience. And, you know, went around not only Australia on simulcast on SEN and its various platforms, but also hit the airwaves of various websites around the world too. So we had some great feedback, and yeah, we thank everyone at SEN. And you know, it's made for radio golf.
It really is.
Yeah, it's I'm not saying that we are the, you know, answers behind the microphones necessarily, but in terms of John Sutherland, my boss at Golf Australia, who puts it all together, he actually made a really good point. There are very few sports that you pay to go and watch that you can't see.
Mm.
So if you think about that, he's spot on. I mean, maybe he brought up the point, maybe F1 or any motor car racing, and golf might be just about it. And yeah, so to have eyes and ears all around the course, and hopefully we brought that to life for everyone.
If you found yourself listening to it at any stage over the weekend, we only want nice positive comments, of course, but if you did find yourself listening to any of it over the weekend, and for the first time you're listening to golf on the radio, and you've got constructive criticism where you actually found yourself, you know, gee, this actually sounds okay. Feel free to share your thoughts with us. 94291116. But before we do any of that, look, a great winner yet again. I mean, a genuinely great winner.
I mean, when you look back, you know, when we look back at the Stonehaven Cup trophy, you know, you'd love now to pick up the trophy and see Jack Nicklaus, Gary Player, Arnold Palmer, you know, Cal Nagel. It's awesome. It's absolutely, you know, you just think of all the legends who have been, had this trophy in their hands and why this tournament's great on a global scale. Jordan Spieth, he already sort of does, but you know that down the track, that name's going to fit in beautifully on that trophy. Mm. You just know that someone down the track's going to pick it up and match those names together.
And there would have been a couple of other names that would have looked just as nice. And one of those would have been Ashley Hall, had he been able to get the job done. He just took it right to the wire with a spectacular 66 to close it out on the Sunday, put himself right in the frame. I'm not sure the big fella was thinking that that was likely when he teed it up on Sunday, but boy, oh boy, he gave it a run for its money. And the big Victorian's been good enough to join us the afternoon after it all happened. Hi, Ash.
Hey, Andy. Hazy.
G'day, Ash.
How does it all feel a day later? I suspect there was a little bit of out-of-body sort of surrealism going on at the time, and you found yourself having to get back out there and be part of this playoff in front of those unbelievable galleries at Royal Sydney. Have you been able to sort of calm down and have a bit of a think about it since?
Yeah, to some extent. It was pretty good. And you're right about, you know, the people and the crowd around that playoff was just absolutely amazing. And, you know, there was lots of, you know, Aussie chants and all sorts of stuff going on. So it was quite neat, actually, to be honest.
Were they behind you specifically, Ash, or were they anti-Jordan? Or what was the feeling from out in the fairways? Because I get the feeling that he was well-supported too.
Yeah, they were going for all of us, you know.
Yeah.
One minute, it was possibly even the same person would chant, go Jordan and go Cam and then go Ash. Or, you know, I heard some people say go the other bloke and whatever. There was lots of things thrown around.
How good did you set? Did you shot into 18 in the playoff? How good did that look to you?
It was pretty good. I knew it would bounce down off that right side a little bit, which it did. But I honestly thought Jordan's was a lot closer than what it was. Not that it wasn't far away, but I thought it was essentially a kick in. So I figured, I think it actually made things easier that, you know, I just had to really hit a good shot. And I did, and I gave myself a chance, and I'm proud of that and happy about it all, really.
I may have compared your putter to the absolute minimum scientifically possible temperature at one stage, Ash, on radio up there. I hope you don't mind.
Yes, you did.
I put it to you that you would have won the Australian Open by 6 shots if you'd had more love from the putter in the early rounds. How do you think of that? What do you think about that?
I wouldn't disagree with that. I'm sure lots of other people would have had best shots out there too, but I certainly had you know, my absolute best in ball striking basically all week and short games. So yeah, certainly if I had a few more drop, but it warmed up a little bit on Sunday. I hold a couple, you know, I hold that good one on 18 in regulation, and you know, I suppose, like I said, that playing with Bads on Saturday might have spurred the putter into life, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. You've done a lot of things in golf that not everyone knows about, but you've been in some pretty high places. You've been in playoffs on the Web.com Tour, and you know, you've been in several key late groups in bigger tournaments. Is that the biggest thrill you've had in your professional life, to have that sort of massive, massive Royal Sydney gallery and crowd and grandstand behind you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the playoffs in the US were good. Very good at the time. The first one, I didn't really know what I was doing, and that was kind of funny that, you know, the Monday, the next day. But, yeah, and, you know, the following week was pretty good, but that happened really quick. And, you know, I didn't do well in those playoffs either. You know, I hit the ball in the water, first shot of both those playoffs. So this time I did much better, and there was much more support, and there's not many better places than Royal Sydney, you know, the 18th hole at Royal Sydney with a big crowd around it. It's very tight and loud, and it's a really good spot.
How much does it make you want more of it, Ash?
Oh, that's all you want as a, you know, for me and any other golfer. That's, you know, when we walked up on the 18th green in the playoff, Adam, my caddy, was just like, how good is this? This is exactly what we do this for, you know, even as a caddy, you know, from his point. So that's all we play for. It's the whole reason why we play, and it's the most addictive rush there is, in my opinion. So, yeah.
Do you recall talking to me with the radio interview before the playoff, Ash?
Yeah.
I say that because you were talking very fluently, just like you are now and you always do, but you're actually shaking. I, you know, this was clear full 3/4 of an hour before you may one day possibly get to play in a playoff. You know, at that stage, Cam was in front at 13 under and Jeff was out in front bowling along beautifully. Like, it wasn't going to be a playoff, but you, after a 66, before even all the drama unfolded, you were shaking like a leaf in the summer breeze. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Yeah, I was over the putt in the playoffs as well.
Wow.
But I think that might have been just because it was, you know, I just finished a round and was quite pumped about holding the putt on the last and giving myself a chance, because, you know, at the start of the day, I didn't think I was a chance. There was a little bit of a chance, but, you know, I knew I had to play a really good round, so that was possibly it. I actually felt pretty good. Once I went down to the range and started hitting some shots, and you know, I was found that I was still striking it nicely. So yeah, I was actually feeling pretty good in the playoff, which is a little bit unusual for me, because I am a little bit of a shaker. that's what I do. you know, I get it sort of a lot of the time on the first tee, on the first day. It's just something that I do, and I wouldn't say I'm used to it, but it does happen most weeks. So makes me realise that I care what I'm doing, and it's what I want to be doing too. So I'm essentially learning to embrace it, I suppose.
Ash, you've had a bit of heat over the last couple of years, you know, family, financial, everything like that. Just, you know, where is golf going for Ash Hall, and, you know, pressure to maybe hang him up? And I think you might have said last year you're just going to play pro-ams and domestically, and, you know, that might just about be it. And then you've won the Vic PGA, obviously, and it's given you a bit of a shot. But now, Royal Birkdale's calling you, mate. I'm not sure if you've answered yet, but that just totally must change your outlook on everything.
Yeah, it's one of the biggest tournaments in the world, and it's great that I've played one too, so I know what to expect, and I know how big it is, and it's funny, it puts the Australian Open to shame in a lot of respects in the size, and but it's something great to look forward to. But I think a couple of weeks ago when I got back from Europe, from Spain, just before the New South Wales Open, I was kind of essentially decided and happy that I gave Europe a go, but I didn't make it, so I'm essentially half happy with what's going on next year, and that we'll just play here and play pro-ams and possibly still even get a job to fill in some time. Just got to kind of work out what that is.
Well, let's hope. You're too good a player. You're too good a golfer for that to happen. And Marco was talking about this yesterday. Every now and again, there's finishes and tournaments that you can win that, just get you a nice check and nothing else. But hopefully somewhere along the line, you can win one of these things that gets you some sort of status where you need to be to play to bring the very best out of you on a weekly basis. We need more Australians over in Europe, Ash. So hopefully you get the... this has lit that kind of bushel underneath you and you decide to have another crack at it, because you're just too good a player, mate, not to let that talent come out and put it up to sort of good use against the best players on a big tour somewhere on a regular basis.
I agree. I still feel like I can play, I still feel like I can play on US tour and European tour, and I haven't given up on that. It's just I know now this next 12 months, 10 months or so, that I don't have that opportunity. So my order of merit position will get me to final stage of any Q school in the world probably in a couple of weeks. So that's nice, thinking 12 months ahead. Marco talks about it all the time. It'd be great if, if not all of our events could be European co-sanctioned or something like that. I'm very much in favour of that, because then my story or anybody that has a good week, it might happen in a couple of weeks at the PGA on the Gold Coast. Someone like me might have a great week and win, and it changes the next two or three years. So
there's no reason why not. I mean, there's absolutely your game. Do you feel like your game suited to Royal Pines?
I've played well there in the past. I played there. Played well there, before the redesign, and now after. I'm actually going up there tomorrow, and I'm going to get Wednesday, Thursday, Friday in practice. So good preparation in before that. It's quite a long course, quite wide. So if I happen to miss it wide, I'm okay. It's quite long, so a lot of the older, shorter hitters. Might not be suited to it, but it's just all about those greens, because that's just so different and what have you. It's essentially why I'm going up there early, just to get some more practice on them.
Well, mate, it was, the story, the eventual and ultimate story is the winner, but the thing that made his win so great was the fact that, he was pushed right to the wire, and it was just a day that unfolded with such drama yesterday with players coming out early, and then Ogilvy looking like he had it twice and then losing it, and then you sticking your nose in at camps. It was just a super day, mate. You're a key part of that. Congratulations on what you're able to do, and also being picking up one of those three tickets to the Open next year. It's going to be fantastic to see you over there. There's a lot of golf to be played between now and then. Thanks for coming on the show.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Good on you, Ash.
Ashley Hall, who was... He nearly won the Australian Open.
Yeah.
Nearly won the Australian Open.
I've had the good fortune to know Ash for probably a decade or so now and just watched him play. And you're right, he's too good a player not to have done something good. And hopefully he does get that chance in his career, because, no, it's not a major championship, the Australian Open. And yes, Australian players put a higher priority on than anyone else. But, it has that major championship feel when you get down to the last few holes. There's no doubt about that. And Jeff Ogilvy said as much. It's his fifth major for the year.
Fifth biggest tournament of the year for Jeff Ogilvy.
And Ash can hang his head, or hold his head very, very high, that he was a key part against some of the world's great players.
Let's hope the other great Australian who of this generation, yeah. Jerry's, that, you know, he doesn't have to come down here and do it. He just support the Open Championship.
I'm sure he will.
I hope he does. I hope he does, Hazy. And I know you're a Golf Australia representative, and he's an ambassador for the game. And we're talking about Jason Day, of course. And he's probably got a problem with his back. He has a herniated disc.
Has now. I think, I mean, there was a lot going around on Twitter yesterday afternoon. But I honestly think he wants to come down. I'm not an apologist for him. I know I sound like that, and I've been accused of that before here. But I know that he'd be watching that because he was desperately keen to come back. I know that there are going to be people who don't believe that, Andy.
That should burn Jason Day.
It would
that
be.
That Jordan Spieth's name's on that trophy twice now.
He won't be headless, but he'll be disappointed and he will want to atone for that.
I hope he does because his name, he's so great a player.
Yeah.
And he's done so much by deed of being a great player for Australian golf that his name should be on that trophy before he hangs them up.
On 11:16 SEN, Melbourne's home of footy. Afternoons with Andy Marr for Volvo. Get run-out prices on the entire Volvo model year 16 range. And Logical Staffing Solutions. Hiring truck drivers for an immediate start. Logicalstaffing.com.au.
Johnny, he's not gangster. He's not a gangster rapper, okay? It's Mark Hayes.
and Coolio, we like that, Andy. We're tight.
Now, before we get to our callers, I see somewhere the other day that your beloved, and it's a beautiful, beautiful golf course, the Curlews Golf Club, did I see somewhere that it got a gong?
Well, I feel very justified today because I sit in here and obviously, you know, I help the club out a little bit, but I'm very, very proud to tell you that the Curlews Golf Club against every other club in Australia, big, small, country, city, everything else, won the Australian Golf Digest Golf Club of the Year last week.
Golf Club of the Year.
The Golf Club of the Year.
So the whole box of those. Course, member facilities, member interaction, vibe of the place.
I think it's largely based on the improvements made and the vibe of the place for visitors and members alike and the way it's come on. But, you know, this isn't against, you know, comparable country clubs or this is against Royal Melbourne. This is against Royal Sydney. This is a great achievement for my small little club. I'm really proud of it. And I still encourage everyone to get down to the Bellarine Peninsula generally, but to take in Curlews Golf Club. It's a treat and it's getting better every week.
100%. If you haven't been down there, folks, and you're a keen golfer, get in the car with your mate, a couple of mates, take a drive, get down there nice and early one day, make a day of it down there. You won't be disappointed. It's in the best nick it's ever been in its life.
Yeah.
Resolved its water issues about 5 years ago.
Correct.
Yeah, no, it's magnificent. Get down and have a hit. Congratulations to everybody.
I'll pass that on, Andy. Thanks.
Andy's in Reservoir. Is it Reservoir or Reservoir? Rhymes with Reservoir.
Yeah.
Andy's in Reservoir. Hello, mate.
Good afternoon, Andrew and Mark. And before I start on my topic, I've heard Curlews is a fantastic course down there. So
don't have a hit, Andy. It's great track.
Now, a double barrel question. How long is the contract still in place for Royal Sydney to have the Australian Open? And if not, if you do know, sorry, I think it's about time that places like the Grange, Royal, Adelaide and Kingston Heath get a crack at it because it was a fantastic tournament, do not get me wrong, and an outstanding last day and outcome, but some of the holes on the course look like it's run its race as far as some of the big hitters go.
Well, Royal Sydney, Andrew, is about to go on a big Gil Hance-inspired alteration, and as soon as that's ticked off by committees at the Royal Sydney Golf Club, that'll be underway. Gil Hance was the guy who designed the Olympic golf course, for those who don't know. He's going to be taking the Bobcats out onto Royal Sydney pretty soon, so it'll get a new look, and we won't actually be back at Royal Sydney for the foreseeable future. We've got through until 2023. There are contracts in place with New South Wales government through Destination New South Wales to stay in and around Sydney. There are 2 years where that can be altered. They can be taken away from Sydney in that time for various reasons. We announced during the tournament that the Lakes Golf Club would host the 2018 Australian Open. So that would be 2017 next year is the Australian, then the Lakes in 2018, back to the Australian in 2019. There's no set host for 2020, the Australian in 2021. Now, I know there's a lot of people, especially in our listenership right now, that would love to see the Australian Open come back to Melbourne. Let's hope that happens in the future. But for right now, the contracts are signed and in place for Sydney.
Can I just say one thing on that? And it pains me to say this. Mm. That the time that we've been doing it together and prior when I was working at Channel 10 and doing Australian Opens, the Sydney Golf community has supported the Australian Open up there unbelievably well.
Yep, the last couple of years have been just phenomenal crowds, like three or four years. And we actually, let's go back to 2013. I think it really jumped back into the big frame of being a legitimate world-class tournament with crowds that match. And, you know, Sydney should be fully commended. And in fact, go back 2011 when the President's Cup teams were out here. There was massive crowds at the Lakes. I mean, we like to think of Sydney siders as a parochial Victorian, as a bit of theatre goers, but that's not true. No. They are up and about as far as the big golf tournaments go.
Let's whip through these callers, Hazy. We've got a couple. We've still got the two rounds of golf to give away to Kerr Lewis.
Absolutely.
And we'll get to that question off the SMS machine before we wrap it up and head it over to the boys on the run home. Tom's in Frankston. Good afternoon, mate.
Oh, good day, Andy, Mark. Look, I just wanted to compliment you guys on that radio broadcast. We were out in the garden mucking around with the kids. It inspired two of the kids that much. They badgered me to not only join them up in a club, and we thought that was fantastic to give them the go. We came inside, we turned the telly down, and we had your radio on, and I thought it was fantastic. The club selection, you got more insight into the game on the radio, and the kids learned a lot about what club to use, which you often don't hear on the telly. And I just wanted to say it was wonderful, and we can't wait to get the kids out on a course and give them a go, and really look forward to seeing it flourish. Well,
Tom,
done, fellas.
Good on you, mate. And because you were very nice to us, you can take a mate of yours down to Kerr Lewis for a game of golf. Maybe take the kids down there on the cart and have a bit of a, they can caddy for you, mate. So thanks for your call, Tom. Pete's in Rye, 11 minutes to 3. Good afternoon, mate.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Yeah, good.
It was a really good insight into the game of golf, from not being able to see the visuals to be able to actually hear. You could hear the ball off the club. You could hear your selection. You could hear a lot of wind at times, which wasn't great.
Yes. It was very windy, Peter.
It was. But I got to hear, because I'm wearing the headphones, I could hear a lot of the detail of blokes calling into the stage and saying, you know, come to me. So it added another dimension to it, which was really interesting.
I will say, Peter, that as a non-professional broadcaster being involved with these guys, it's absolutely fascinating to me as a sports fan to see them up and about. That they weren't just there doing a job. Marco Half and Andy across from me here, just, you know, they were passionate about it. They're up and about. So those sort of things, while they might sound you know, a bit odd in terms of professional broadcasting, and I put my hand up on that one because I was a shocker. But, you know, these guys are really pumped, and I hope that came across.
Pete, you're going to Kerr Lewis as well, mate. Take a mate down there for a game of golf also. Jason's in Ringwood, 10 minutes to 3. Good afternoon to you.
Yeah, g'day, fellas. Well done also on the AO radio. That was fantastic.
Good on you, Jason. Thanks, mate.
Just one for Hazy. I with the World Cup of Golf that's coming up this weekend, which is fantastic for us to be able to go and see those superstars. I'm just a little bit bemused of what Golf Victoria has done with the junior pennant over the weekend coming up, with them playing on the weekend when the kids actually should be watching the Ricky Fowlers, Jimmy Walker, Adam Scotts and that. So I know you're probably a little bit conflicted, Mark, to talk about it because of Golf Australia and stuff, but I just think they should be at the golf watching it and playing every other week. We don't get a chance to see them too often. That's the problem, I think.
That's a fair criticism, Jason. Someone from Golf Victoria would be better placed to answer that question than me, but absolutely, I agree with you that, you know, the chances that we get to see the cream of world golf are few and far between, which is unfortunate, but it's just the way it is. And we've all discussed the reasons why 1,000 times. It's very much a valid point to think that the kids should be excused from their regular commitments to go and watch this, because they may not see something like this for a little while longer. Although, having said that, the President's Cup coming back in a couple of years. So maybe your point can be taken on board by Golf Victoria to address that before the President's Cup when he does come back, because it is important that we just as the caller earlier on saying in Frankston how his kids got involved in the radio broadcast. Yeah. This is the way, you know, Stephen Pitt, the Golf Australia chief executive, maintains to everyone who listen that the most important element of getting kids involved, grassroots, is actually getting the world's elite golfers to inspire them. Yeah. So, you know, it's a really good point you make. I take it on board, and I'll pass it on to Golf Victoria
and
for you.
To that end, just before we get you to a break, how good was it on the main practice putting green at Royal Sydney, where Jordan Spieth, Jeff Ogilvy, Aaron Baddeley, they're all there practice putting before their round? There was a tiny little yellow rope, And on the other side of that yellow rope was the My Golf clinic that was going on,
yep.
which is run by Golf Australia. A whole lot of little rug rats, little yep. ankle biters, little kids out there putting on their own part of the green that had been sectioned off alongside the best players on the planet.
Same putting surface. Just
same green.
You can see the glint in their eyes.
It was
one of the thousands of kids on that green throughout the week will win something big one day,
it
I guarantee
was awesome.
You.
Yeah. Pete's in East Bentley. Good afternoon, mate.
Afternoon, fellas. If I was asked once, I was asked half a dozen times on the weekend, what is the format of the World Cup of Golf this week at Kingston Heath. I understand there's some foursomes in it.
Four ball foursomes, Pete. No, the other way around. Foursomes, four ball, foursomes, four ball. That's what it is, Pete. That's right, isn't it, Hazy?
That's spot on, and brings the guys in uniform together playing in the one part of the course, as opposed to when Scotty and JD won it last time. They were on opposite sides of the course, didn't see each other for 4 days. So
happy
this
with
is
that.
Gold.
Happy with that, Pete?
No. If there's one thing worse than playing foursomes, it's watching it.
I think you'll be in the minority view
yeah,
there,
no,
Pete. Sorry.
No, I disagree with you. I'm with it.
At my club, they stay away in their droves when foursomes comes on.
Not too many people in the top 50 rankings in the world of your golf club, I wouldn't imagine, Peter. No offence.
No. It'll be. I think it's great. It's a team's event. You want to see them playing alongside one another. And you want to see them lifting one another if they need it, Pete. That's the only way you can do it with this sort of format. I'm a big tick. Lou's in St Albans. A couple of minutes to go before we hand it over to the absolute gentlemen who are Daniel Harford and Mark Allen. They are the men that make up the run home. Hello to you, Lewiston.
Very well, thanks, guys. How are you?
Very well, Lewis.
I concur with a bunch of the previous callers. I thought you guys did a great job on the weekend.
Thanks, mate.
The highlight for me, though, was actually something that I caught a glimpse of on Friday, and that was to see Jared Lyle back on the course doing what he loves in amongst his mates. I thought that was a terrific thing to see.
Yeah, and he was right in the mix there for a while. Yeah. He had a probably 65, 66 on the cards, but just came a little unhinged the last couple of holes. But, his best is still good enough. There's no doubt about that, Lou. So great to see him up and about. I'm not sure how many times we're going to see him internationally again, but I think you'll still see him as a fixture around Australian golf, that's for sure.
So just wrapping up a few things that happened outside of all of that. Matty Fitzpatrick wins the the Tour Championship over in Dubai to round out the European Tour. But Henrik Stenson wins the race.
Yeah, he won the race to Dubai for his consistent results and, of course, the Open Championship.
Charlie Hull wins the likewise event for the Women's Tour. But Araya Jutanagan,
well, thankfully for you, it wasn't Haru Nomura, but it was Araya Jutanagan. So she's won the race to the CME Globe.
My word, she has. And the PGA Tour event, I didn't miss the end of this, did I? The five-man playoff's been cancelled, been postponed because of weather, is that right?
That's correct. So going to finish it up tomorrow. And just to answer one question off SMS here, there's quite a few up there, but the three people who got exempt to the Open Championship are Ash Hall, Cam Smith, and Aaron Baddeley.
Indeed, they are. Magnificent job from you, by you and everybody at Golf Australia for pulling that together. The Australian Open Golf was a joy to be involved in that. We'll do it all again sometime.
Cheers, mate.